Good morning and welcome to Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM. I am here until the hour of one every Sunday. If you are new, then welcome to sarcasm and politics combined here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. For those of you that have that are privy to the Eagle FM social media platforms, then you must have seen the poster right now. Today's Mind the Gap is going to be based on one of my favorite subject, and that is language. Now, it turns out in the world of politics, it's as in any other, disciplines. Let's just for the sake of to avoid arguments, let's just call politics as a discipline. We all know it's just, professional quarreling. Actually, take the word professional out of it, it's just quarreling. Now, I've always wondered, why can't people from different political parties just get along? Because, the goal is, irrespective of how different political parties are and different, a point of view or ideologies or ways of doing things are, then the goal seems to be the same. And this is politics, not just in Namibia. This is politics the world over. The goal is to advance or develop the country, build industries. You'll find that in manifesto of pretty much every political party across the planet, because the goal is to advance a country's economy. Now, after I came to realize that after going through several political manifestos, basically, and these are political manifestos because, I just like political topics. I've gone through different, constitutions of different countries and, national anthems. It's a long story. But one thing that, one question I couldn't stop asking myself is, if the main goal is to develop a country, then, first of all, why have different political parties? You may as well just have one, because the main goal of all political parties is to develop a country. I'm yet to meet a political party whose goal is to descend a country into chaos. If that's the goal, then they don't point it out, because the information that's made publicly available with regards to the goals and the ideologies behind all political parties can all be summarized in a very one simple sentence: advance a country's a country's overall economy by building industries, getting involved, getting the youth involved in the leadership structures, because they are the leaders of tomorrow. We know as much as we like power as a species, we know that sooner or later, we grow old, and sooner or later we die, and someone have to take over the legacy that we have built. We don't want everything to go down the drain. So there I was now. If the goal is to develop a country, why have different political parties? Turns out, an argument can be made that that's good for, for getting different point of views on different subjects. And the more we disagree with each other, then, it's like knocking different ideologies together to come up with with one that works for both, compromise here and there. Yeah, I woke up to, running. Now it's, now I'm paying the price. Now, anyway, if the goal is to develop a country, then, why have different political parties? And when you look at it that way, you begin to see that it's not very different from religion. You have a bunch of different religions, and within these separate religions, you have a bunch of different denominations. And now you can't help but ask yourself, if there is just one God, why have a bunch of different religions? And if the main goal is to go to, heaven, and then why have, you have one book. I'm a Christian, so I'm going to give a Christian example. You have one book, and that book is called the Bible. And, my God, the way that book has been interpreted or misinterpreted, depending on how you want to look at it, it's actually fascinating, because we have, hundreds, if not thousands, of different denominations all of whom will tell you that we are interpreting it right. Everyone else got it wrong. The most fascinating part is that each and every single one of these denominations will tell you that everyone else is wrong. They are right. Only they are right. Their interpretation of scripture is the right one. Everyone else is just nuts. Isn't that fascinating? Isn't that just fascinating? But anyway, that's just an example. And this is the same thing that we see in politics. Now, the goal in my religion example, for example, is that now you have one source of reference, like a source of wisdom, you know, ancient wisdom. Древние мудрости, ancient wisdom. Now, this ancient wisdom has been, from the look of things, translated from multiple languages. And, you know, multiple languages into one that is, was written in multiple languages, Aramaic, Hebrew, and Greek. And from there, there have been a lot of different interpretations in all kinds of languages. So with the translation, if there's one thing about translation is that translation just sucks the fun out of the content of the message that we'd like to convey. It's translation is terrible. But anyway, back to the power of languages. If the goal is to go to heaven, why have a bunch of different denominations? Turns out the interpretation of the language left to us, those of you and I that are Christians, have been interpreted and misinterpreted and multi-interpreted in a way that is we now find ourselves with a bunch of denominations. The other one is saying, you know what, I should go to church on Friday. Another one is saying, go to church on Sunday. Another one is saying, you know what, just, you know, forget this whole church thing. And just kneel down at home and just pray to you. That is actually the, you know, the power of language that I'm pointing out here. And when I say power of language, what I mean is that any one of us can just take any book that you know that contains a certain point of view on ideology, whether it's a culture or religion, or just any type of ideology, or economic, which is why we keep hearing a lot of people saying capitalism, Marxism, you know, and all this, and you trickle down economy, and all these things are basically ideologies. So when you look at it that way, you begin to understand just how a powerful language is and how a lot of, a lot of writers have basically, unfortunately now, weaponized languages to push their own personalized agenda, and mostly to just put money in their pockets. Now, coming back to politics, if the goal... why do politicians especially politicians from different political parties like to throw mud at each other if they all have the same agenda, which is to develop a country? Is that simple? If the goal is to develop a country, shouldn't you guys be working together? It turns out the mud slinging, the name calling, that is common in politics, and now it's very prevalent in social media. But let's just focus on politics for now. One, it's as old as time. But because division works. In the world of power, division is everything. Divide and conquer. It has worked all the time. It's still working to this day. Now, one way of dividing people is give them them versus us mentality. I'll give you an example. Think apartheid South Africa, and we fell under that form of governance because, well, we were there, basically a province called Southwest Africa. A lot of people, every time that we talk about apartheid South Africa, right? A lot of us just don't think much about just how much we were all lied to by the government of the time. And when I say we were all lied to, both black people and white people were lied to. Because in the world of power, you lie more to the people closer to you than the people that are far away from you. I'll give you an example. Churches during apartheid South Africa, what do you think they were preaching on, on human rights? Now, go back to apartheid South Africa. If you were a preacher and you were caught preaching that, black people and white people are just all the same, irrespective, if you take out the skin color part, then, intellectual wise, common sense, so more like from an evolutionary or creation, depending on which camp you fall under, we're all just the same. If you preached that, what happened to you? Even if you're white? Well, things are not going to go very well for you. There's one American doctor. That was just I think this was in the 70s, 50s and 60s, who was just explaining live on television in the US that, now you have to understand the man was a doctor. So he was an expert at human anatomy. And he was just telling people live on television that, this whole thing of black people versus white people and superiority because of skin color is a lot of hackam. It's just a lot of garbage. There is no anatomical or medical evidence that supports that theory. Yeah. You want to guess what happened to him? Yeah, he died by accident. Let's just leave it there. He was white. He was a man. And ladies, at this point, you're still at the tail section of, of things. So, he was white, educated, professional. The thing is, he stood against the status quo. Speaking of status quo, we're going to get back to that word in a few. So, in the world of power, lying is the order of the day. Unfortunately, lying is the order of the day. This is something that I actually just, I was just thinking on my way here, and I thought I should have done that. And that something is, just to look into the, into the education curriculum of the apartheid South Africa, especially the, white schools. What were those white kids being taught about black people? You can bet you're behind they were being lied to in the name of quote-unquote science. And when you are lying to someone to maintain a status quo, especially in the world of power, you use certain words. Like, as you can imagine, these poor kids were told, you know what? And mind you, adults fell for this crap. Fully grown men still fall for this nonsense. To this day, that's how powerful language is. They were told, these are the police and the authorities, your laws and government and everything. They're basically telling people the only way standing in between us and those black savages tearing you to shreds is us. If it wasn't for us, those black people would descend on you and destroy your entire life. Heck, they will even kill you. Now, when you tell someone that over and over again, they fall for it. There's power in a repetition, which is why when you listen to a song over and over again, at the end of the day, the part that will be stuck in your head is most likely going to be the chorus. You are not broken. You are not broken. It's just how you are designed naturally. Now, the experts now of control have figured this part out. Repeat something over and over again, and it's gonna get stuck in your head. Now, is it Charlize Theron? I just I hope I'm not butchering her name here. I remember watching one of her interviews where she was explaining just how long it took her. I don't know. She was just giving her point of view, so I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. How long it took her to actually realize that all type of division was just the, it was, the division that was happening in the apartheid South Africa, that because she's from South Africa, now living in the US, you know, excellent actor, by the way. A lot of people, and I've seen the same, it took her a very long time to actually realize that, there's a lot of division being planted. A lot of stuff that she was taught in school about, about segregation was just, power conservation moves. And, I've also come to realize the same thing, the same thing about a lot of Americans, especially white Americans, on Islam, that have just woken up to the realization that crime is not a Muslim thing, it's a human thing. Why am I saying that? Because, saying that crime, now, if I sit here and say, a crime is a Muslim thing, wherever Islam shows up, crime will always be, here's the thing. First of all, World War One was a bunch of Christians. World War Two, a bunch of Christians. Colonialism, a bunch of Christians. You'll have a hard time explaining. If crime is a Muslim thing, then you will have to explain how just a bunch of Muslims started World War One and World War Two, because those two wars were not started. Colonialism, at least. Now you have to understand, religion is used in subjugation, has been used. Islam, for example, was used by the Ottomans in subjugation 2.0. And Christianity, Catholicism, whatever it is that you want to call it, was used pretty much all throughout, transatlantic slavery. So the Ottomans used Islam. The British, basically, in their quest to civilize the whole world, used what? Christianity. Heck, they actually translated the Bible to reflect colonialism, to reflect transatlantic slavery. So clearly, crime is not a Muslim thing. It's a human being who is hungry of power thing. Fascinating, right? Now, moving on. This
whole crime thing, crime is a Muslim thing. It's just, all Muslims are criminals.
Now, before you believe that, I want you to, if you are Namibian, just go to the nearest correctional facility and, ask the names. Just any random names of people that in, and you'll find a bunch of Joseph, a bunch of Abrahams, a bunch of Moses. Last time you checked, all these guys are Christians. None of them are Muslims. If you find a Muhammad and Abdusalam or an Abdul behind bars here in Namibia, they are not the majority. The majority is just a bunch of what? A bunch of guys with Christian names that, you have Abraham now saving time for rape. Oga Abraham, Father Abraham. And now, what happened to being the father of faith? How did we move from, father of faith to father of forcing yourself on people that didn't want to see you without your clothes off? Without your clothes on? On the importance of language. On the importance of language, especially as it relates to politics. This is why I brought it up. We're going to go to 1990. The following year, I would be born. So we're going back to the year before yours truly here was, born. Now, 1990.
You see, you know, the U.S. have two-party system, right? You have Republicans and Democrats. Up until 1995, you see, Republicans had a problem. They were not finding their footing in terms of dominating the branches of the government. Think Parliament here in Namibia and State House. Everything was just, just Democrats were everywhere. And someone figured out, how can we acquire power? How can we get people on our side? Then they realized that, you know what? Telling them the truth is not going to... We have to do what politicians do best. What is that? Lie. Now lie. So they were like, you know what? Just lying, anyone can lie. But if you want effective results from your lying, you will have to come up with a very good lying mechanism. You have to come up with a blueprint. You have to come up with a system of, knowing that you have to lie to get something is one thing, but knowing the best way to lie to get whatever it is that you want to get is a whole different ballgame. Let's look at the relationship example. We know that in order for one not to die a virgin, especially if you're a guy, you have to lie. Ladies, I know. You know, I just want a man that will be honest. No, lie. If you met a guy that, actually you met guys that were honest with you, you didn't give them a chance. Just put your ego aside, ladies, and think back. You met a guy who was honest with you about how they felt. Chances are very high. You rejected them. And then you met a smooth talker. You gave him a chance. And now you started drinking because of him. Assuming you didn't gravitate towards, a crack. Because of that heartbreak, the entire premises of pickup lines is literally lying. I was just standing across the hall and I saw this wonderful angel and I thought to come over and ask for her number and name, just to get to know her better. Right. You saw an angel, didn't you? Of course you saw an angel. Now, and by the way, if you're saying, what a terrible pickup line. It turns out, according to my Google research, don't ask. That works. Let's face it here. The reality is, the entire idea behind pickup lines is lying. The entire idea, all love songs are built on what? Lying. All love movies are built on lying. Take 50 Shades of Grey, for example. One very hard fact about the 50 Shades of Grey movie, and 365, by the way, all those movies and many more others. If Christian Grey was broke, 50 Shades of Grey would not be a romantic movie. No. It would be an investigation discovery documentary. It would be on abusive men. He was loaded. He was loaded. That's why it's romantic. As it turns out, handcuffs are romantic when you are loaded. But when you are broke, domestic violence, call the Ministry of Gender. That's the reality of the world we live in. Again, don't shoot the messenger. And the reason why society needs comedians is a lot of you guys are too politically correct or too formal to point these things out. We don't shy away from that. We just point out. I can't breathe without you. Dude, how do you get here? I can't eat with... No. Look, there are certain things that I cannot do without you. But eating, believe me, is not one of them. There is one thing that is that I haven't lost in a very long time, if ever, and that's my appetite. Yes. I fall under the category of people that will be, you can break my heart today and come at the end of the day, I'm still finishing a plate of food. Look, you broke the heart, not the stomach. Huh? So, knowing how to lie, knowing that you have to lie is one thing. Coming up with the best lying plan is
is quite another. So, the Republican now in the U.S. before 1995, they realized that they were not winning enough seats in the government. That's because they were not winning enough, enough voters. So they came up with a genius. So then they realized, we have to up our line game. And then they solved that. Okay, you know what? We have to up our line game. Okay, got it. Now that we know that we have to lie, how do we lie? It's not like we'll be the first group of politicians to do it. I mean, politicians the world over lie. So we know that lying we have to do. And we know that we have been lying. Clearly, our lies have not been effective enough. How do we build these lies in a way that they bring about a good result? Let's just say in 1990, one political party leadership training organization figured that out. They figured out the best way to lie. Step number one, divide. Step number two, lie. Oh boy, has it worked. 1995 to 2026. And it has worked. But more on that on the other side of the theme song, because join me in the Mind the Gap world anthem now. Papa God borrow me 5 billion.
Yesterday food finish, today pot day hot with nothing. Water they boil inside empty pots, steam they come out. I close the lid, pretend say something they cook. I count my coins since morning, in no rich transport. I trek 3 miles to work under sun, no escort. My shoe they open mouth, the soul don't separate. I use rubber band hold them, so he no go vibrate. I reach work, my yoga ask why are they sweat. I say na exercise, hunger they make me forget. Lunchtime everybody job, I drink water, fill my chest. I tell them I already ate. God forgive me for that jest. Papa God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger go kill me. Papa God borrow me 10 billion. Hunger go kill me. If I don't pay back, God Satan responsible. If I don't pay back, God the devil responsible. Papa God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger go kill me. Overdue. Teacher put my child out of class, what I go do? I beg the teacher, give me 1 more week. She done hear that one before, she don't even speak. Night time, I kneel down, whole family they sleep. I cry to God quiet, the kind of cry that is deep. My wife ask what we go cook, I say God go provide. She look at me, she look at what, nothing there inside. Papa, 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 God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger go kill me. Papa, papa, God borrow me 10 billion. Hunger go kill me. Nothing to show, something no they right. My neighbor they cook, the smell enter my room. I swallow saliva, I pretend say I fool. Boom! I know they give up, but Lord hear my cry. Because hunger no supposed be the reason I die. Just borrow me small, I go walk out to pay. And if I feel lost, now devil lead me astray. Papa God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger go kill me. Papa God borrow me 10 billion. Hunger go kill me.
Papa God borrow me 5 billion, hunger go kill me. Papa God borrow me. Welcome back to Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM. I'm here until the hour of one, so we still have an hour and 22 minutes. And 12 minutes of those of me rumbling, and not 22 minutes of those. Actually, not 22. 20 plus 30, that gives you plus 2. So 52 minutes of those would be spent explaining, and then the remaining 30 minutes is you know how we lol. So it's just the DJ time. So straight to explaining how the Republican Party in the US figured out the genius way. Look, I'll give them credit. I'll give credit where it's due. This was genius. Why? Because the plan worked. The plan worked. So after realizing that they have spent decades, and they have spent decades of lying, and it wasn't just working properly, because they have thrown their entire lie out there, all the lies they could come up with, but people were just not falling for it. The Democrats were dominating the government structure. So they figured out something that I think is present in the world over, in the world of politics right now, which takes me back to the beginning, where I pointed out that why do political parties like to throw mud at each other? Yeah, it turns out whether it was invented by the by Gopak, or they just drew a blueprint that was very effective, is something that is just somewhat very interesting. Now, here's the thing. So, 1990, they figured out that the best way to do this. Is to come up with the best lying strategy. So then they came up with a lot of words. Some of them positive, actually contrasting words that they came up with. They came up with positive words of positive words. In other words, they were training the leaders of the future, not nations leaders. Of course, nations leaders, but political party leaders first. Now, after training political party leaders first, they told them that for you to dominate out there, to outlie the other political party, you have to lie the following way. So when you are talking about something about your political party or your own your own political party statesman, these are the words that you use. But if you are describing in activities or individuals from other political parties that you just want to throw mud at, these are the words to use. And the following is the list from the University of what university is that? Oh no, hang on a second. Hey, manufacturing concern. That is from the University of Houston. Yeah. The following is taken from this was called a memo. Now, this memo explained to this GOPAC, which is a political party leaders training organization, that we have put together a group of optimistic positive words and contrasting words, optimistic, positive words are the words that you are going to use to describe your own, you know, your own political party's work, your own political party's men and women. And the contrasting words are the words that you are going to use to describe other political parties' ideologies and ideologies and individuals. In other words, don't support them. It turns out language is very powerful. Before we get to the words, the memo starts as follows. As you know, one of the key points in the GOPAC instruction, in the GOPAC is that language matters. And the memo itself was called Language, a Key Mechanism of Control. And then it goes on to say that as we mail tapes to candidates, because the whole thing was just compiled into tapes, we're talking about the 90s, into tapes and then sent to candidates of the Republican parties, basically the political parties. They were being sent talking points wherever you're holding a campaign, wherever you are holding a press conference and all. Make sure that you employ these words to the best of your ability. Don't worry, we're gonna get to the words. So then they pointed out that as we mail tapes to candidates, in GOPAC, language matters. As we mail tapes to candidates and use them in, training sessions across the country, we hear a plaintive plea. I wish I could speak like Newt. Newt is the guy that was heading the organization at the time. Now, that takes years of practice, but don't you worry. I, Newt, have got your political behind. Commercial break.
Ritavazende kize imba izwezi pili lwekerize mikwaye nguyencha kukona kunolofaza kwankufisa hamocholo ni mata amskavona kale kana mitukserize kubona msevelezo wa imba ye mufumane lisevelezo zezwezi pili ze kakulifafela mashilingi ali kana $36 million kakweli kapa kamikwaye kutesfa fasi ye tatama 5% machipisa hamngo tsari kweli ze talu 10% machipisa hamngo tsari kweli ze silela 25% machipisa hamngo tsari kweli ze lishumi peli muketeri kweli zo movata kuri mukone kukala kuikola zendezewo imba imiswalezi fa machipisa imba tokukubukanira fasi kaufela muipe kwali sevelezo za imba kachenu kuri mukone kuikola zende kaufela.
Welcome back. So don't worry, Mind the Gap, Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station, your favorite comedian, radio comedian in the country. You know the drill by now. So moving on. So for those that were confused with regards to what to do in order to acquire, you know, to reach a large number of people and pull them to their political party, and they were admiring, how is this Newt guy so good at speaking? And Newt told them, you know what? Newt Gingrich is his full name. Told them, you know what? I've written an instruction manual for you on how to lie best. I know you are politicians, you know how to lie, but the thing is, you're not lying well. You're not lying properly. Make I show you how to lie properly. So then he told him, of course, this takes years of practice, and it helps if you are born with the talent of lying. They called him, you know, smooth. No, na lie. Now, don't worry. I'll give you help. That is why we have created this list of words and phrases. This list is prepared so that you might have a directory of words to use in writing lectures and letters, in preparing speeches, and in producing material for the electronic media. That's the part where it would say social media, but again, we're talking about the 90s, so social media is still non-existent. Now, the words and phrases are powerful. Read them, memorize as many as possible, and remember that, like any tool, these words will not help if they are not used. And the politicians were following instructions, all right, because they really did apply those words. And the words were simple. When you are talking about our political party, these are the words you should use. Words like common sense, freedom, peace, reform, courage, hard work, pioneer, rights, crusade, help, precious, strength, dream, I have a dream, liberty, pride, truth, duty, light, principled, aka man of culture, vision, empowerment, ladies, weird, morals, pristine, workfare, you have fair movement, pro-environment. You know, that thing kept me awake the whole night. Actually, it was more like the running that kept me awake the whole night. Now that I got it out of the way, it's just, I want my sleep back. It turns out, this whole running thing is not very difficult if you grew up looking after cattle, because what you don't know is that when you're looking after cattle, you're literally training for a marathon, whether it's a 5, 10, half marathon, or the full one, or the ultra. If you grew up looking after cattle, you should look into running it long distance. Yeah. Talking from experience, of course. Now, the pro-environment, this word, I've heard this word 1,000 times, and I've always wondered, why does everything have to be pro this and anti that? It turns out it was just engineered by one guy who wanted to figure out, who helped his political party to figure out a way to lie better. Pro, anti. How often have we heard that? Pro-LGBTQ, anti-LGBTQ, pro-feminism, anti-feminism, pro-Russia, anti-Russia, pro-Ukraine, at this point may as well just be a national anthem. You have an anti-Semite. I'm like, where the heck does this language come from? People can disagree, and people are always going to disagree. People barely agree with everything they think. I know that because I'm a person. Sometimes I come up with ideas and I look at myself in the mirror and go like, that have got to be the stupidest thing you've ever thought. Now, that's me disagreeing with something that I just thought. Now, what makes you think that brought together in a group will all just come together in one giant ecumenical hug and sing kumbaya? We won't. We are going to disagree. Whether it's development, political, religion, general conversation on social subjects, we are going to disagree. We just have to, I feel like if we made peace with the fact that we will never have the same, because we are not robots. We are not robots. We are never going to say, to have a unanimous consensus on everything. No. Will never. Now, in labor law, one thing that I memorize that's basically stuck in my head in my, from my labor law module is that, one of my favorite topic, from that module was negotiating. So, and one line that is just engraved in my head, from that module, on negotiations is that when you are walking into a negotiation room, don't walk in with a mentality of I'm going to dominate them. Because that's how diplomacy fails. When you walk in with dominating mentality, and this is actually human nature, and a lot of us have, including those with advanced degrees, have never mastered how to exploit that human nature to advance diplomacy, which is why we more often have war after war after war, because every time that we show up for a negotiation, we are not showing up for a negotiation. Technically, it's not a negotiation. It's an arm twisting. If you show up with, it's either you do it our way or the hard way, that's not a negotiation. If I walked out of this studio and I saw a smoking hot chick, and then I put a knife on her, a knife on her throat, and then tell her, you better be my girlfriend, or else you're meeting Jesus. How is that relationship gonna go?
Negotiations are supposed to be, this is what I have on, this is my proposal. Let's hear yours. And then you keep, and then you both sides keep compromising and until you meet a unanimous consensus. You have a middle ground you're both willing to compromise on. Those are negotiations. Now, when you look at it from a technical point of view, this world has never seen a negotiation. It's always one guy with more economic and military power wanting to, to armstrong the smaller guy. That's not a negotiation. That's cohesion. There's a thin line. Actually, there's a very thick line. From a technical point of view, there's a very thick line. So the whole language of either, that you can either be either anti or pro something. No, you can actually criticize both sides of, both sides of an idea without being anti or pro any of the sides. If I find a bunch of guys advocating for the protection of the environment, climate change, by telling people at the in the village, for example, to stop cooking with firewood, I can argue both for or against that point of view. A point of view number one. Okay, you have to understand, they have to stop cooking with firewood. What alternative are you giving them? Because if you're not giving them an alternative, you can't tell them to stop cooking, they're going to starve. And no one in their right mind will starve just because, I want to save the environment. Because even we know that even the guy giving the lecture, if they were in a situation where they were at the receiving end of the economic spectrum and they were cooking with firewood and you told them to stop, they wouldn't. They wouldn't. Well, take the US and Iran, for example. Just flip the script. Take the US and Israel and put them in Iran's situation. Would they have signed the agreement that are coming out of the US and Israel? They wouldn't. Actually, knowing how stubborn they are, they wouldn't. It's not rocket science. I think that's where I think one of the most, amazing, statement that has ever been uttered is, put yourself in my shoe. It's not rocket science. Now, this is just, look, it's very simple. Look at both sides, like Audi alterem patem. That's just some Latin popping up. Listen to both sides. And that's a legal principle that it turns out it's also, is good for proper administration of justice. In other words, you have, to make a fair judgment, in any matter, listen to both sides. For you to make a fair judgment on who is at fault and who is not, listen to both sides. We know that more often in these things in reality, well, one side has money, and one side can afford a lawyer who can lie better, and making their point of view sound like it's the best point of view. And for those of for you now that was given a lawyer who graduated from Umkuru Development Community High School. Oh, boy. You go to jail. So, I don't think things have to be, either pro something or anti something. But anyway, let's come back to this list. So, pro environment. Use words like family when you're talking about our political party and our ideas. We are a family here. No, we're not. I'm here for the money. In this political party, we are brothers and sisters. I think, the good thing about growing up is, from high school, I believe, I was exposed to some fascinating series of events that helped me actually get a picture of how, of what people are willing to do to gain power. It started in high school. And when
I found myself in the line of, when I joined the workforce after high school. Yeah, it was that early for me. When I joined the workforce after high school, I realized I was also exposed to people fighting for a position. Oh, yeah. It was bad. They did not exchange blows, but you had fully grown men and women that were not talking because of a position that was made available. And now they were just, they were about to go full Game of Thrones on each other. Now, when you are describing our political ideology according to language, a key mechanism of control, use words like common sense. But when you are talking about other political parties, use words like anti-child, use words like disgrace, lie, shame, sick, status quo, steal. They versus them. Now that is as old as time. Red tape, self-serving. That political party, think of it this way. Now, my favorite word on the contrasting words is sensationalist. Have you ever noticed that in the world of politics, even when the other party is doing good things, the opposition parties will always find a negative way to portray it. If you do something bad, that party or that person is just bad. If you do something good, he's just corny. He's just sensationalizing you. He's leading you into a trap. He's just doing all that to, to win votes. Yeah, it's a party. Why else would a party do things? To win votes, of course. Have you ever heard of a church trying to win votes? Church tries to win souls. At least, that's what they say. Tries to win souls. It would be weird if I ran into a, church, into a televangelist, for example, and were like, my goal here is to win, candidates for that political party. Unless that's one of those religious political party, which I think is just, how do you combine those two, by the way? I mean, politics and religion? Well, church, politics is about lying. And church is supposedly about telling the truth. And when you have a church and politics combining, it's like telling me, you know what? In my coffee today, I'm going to have sugar and salt. Maybe that's how, maybe you like some high, some sodium right next to your C6H12O6. Yeah, I still just memorize the chemical formula for, carbohydrate. Use words like greed. Use words like failure. Use words like excuses. In other words, when a political party, fails to meet the promise it made in its, let's say when my political party fails to meet the promises that we made in our manifesto, we're going to use words like, this is just common sense. You have to understand, sometimes, there are challenges that we have faced. Oh, thank you very much. I'm so proud of me. When you and your political party fail to fulfill the promises that you made in your manifesto, you had challenges you have to overcome. But when a different political party fails to meet the promises they made in their manifesto, those are just failures. You see, they lied. This is what they said. And, did it come to pass? No. Did they fulfill this promise? No. But when it's us, we know that, things, we started off on a wrong start, when we started, as you can remember, the economy was the debt to GDP ratio, and then they start throwing in all this language. Inflation was this, which is why our numbers are not reflecting the promise that we made. But there's always a but. As you can see that, from where we are right now, and judging by the circumstances of the current economy, from the look of things, if you just give us 5 more years, the growth you'll experience. The growth you'll experience you have never seen before. If you vote for us for the next coming 5 years, one person, one citizen, one farm, one citizen, one communal land, one citizen, one vrupa. So nice things to describe your success, nice things to describe your failures, and terrible words to describe your opponent's failures, and even more terrible words to describe their success. Turns out, and you know what's the most painful thing? It works. It works. So, how did I run into these things? One thing that attracted me to that is the word memo. That's basically short for memorandum. Turns out, in the world of politics, there's a memo. This is why I like about this is why I like the US media. They have information that's publicly available for me to use to cook them. And pretty much every politician that happens to be caught in a crossfire. Now, this memo titled Language, a Key Mechanism of Control. Language, a Key Mechanism of Control was a memo that's coming out of the US that was published in 1990 that has been applied in politics, turning political parties against each other by using specific words. How do you turn politicians against each other? 90% of the time, politicians are smart enough. They know you're lying. Your goal is not the opposition. It's who is watching you deliver the speech. The consumer of your speech, your speeches, your stakeholder engagements, those are your target. The more of those you convince that using these words, that when it's as everything taking place in your when everything that's taking place in your political party, those are reforms. You have a vision. Everything else taking place in other political parties, now that's just the anti, national. I mean, it's a betrayal. They're just lying. I mean, that's just self-serving. That's hypocrisy. They have failed. We didn't fail. We faced challenges. They have faced failure after failure after failure. We have faced challenge after challenge after challenge. And you know what? We shall overcome this challenge. Really? It's only challenges for you, but for others, it's a failure. It turns out, how this language, a key mechanism of control, is a memo on how to lie in the world of politics, right? There is also a memo, even much older than that. That memo is how to lie in advertising. Now, we are going a little economic now. Now, in 1971, a gentleman by the name of Lewis Powell, wrote a memo, 1971, this man was a corporate lawyer. You already know what that means. It means, a corporate lawyer means, he's willing to defend anyone that's willing to pay. You can be as guilty as daylight. Give him enough money and he's going to defend you. Now, The Paul memo outlines, you know, outlines basically somewhat the same thing that's outlined in the, you know, in the Gingrich memo of how to lie in politics, except this memo is based on lying, but in the corporate world now, aka in economics. The first memo was how to lie in politics. This one is how to lie in economics. It turns out lying. You know, the funny thing about adults is that we spend a very long time telling kids, don't lie, don't lie. Hey, adults can lie. We just went through a list of words that adults use to lie in politics. And I'm going to walk you through, the memo that explains, even older than that, from 1971, that explains how to lie in economics. Let me tell you guys the honest truth that no economist, at least not a lot of economists, minus Richard Wolff and Jeffrey Sachs, oh, my favorite. Companies have shareholders. The primary goal of that company is to make money for the shareholders. I'm going to repeat that again. Companies have shareholders. The primary goal of the company is to make profit for the shareholders. So everything a company does is making money for shareholders. Whether they have Black Friday special, whether they have something on sale, they wouldn't be doing it if they weren't making money for the shareholders. Now, they don't have something on sale because they like you. No, maybe that's partly true. But the main reason is they are making money. They have calculated, they have done the math. You're just looking at a catalog that has, just buy this price. There was this number, there was this percentage in price reduction. Someone did the math. Although it's the 21st century, you can just use, AI for that. Someone did the math. Both the economic math in terms of pricing and the psychological math in terms of making that catalog as shiny as possible to attract your blind eyes. Again, the reason why you have comedians is so they can tell you the truth that, frankly, no one is going to tell you. So, what is a Paul memo? Well, in 1971, a document that was written by a corporate lawyer, Lewis Powell Jr., that served as a strategic blueprint for mobilizing corporate America to defend capitalism and shape public policy. Now, the author was Lewis Powell. What was the core argument of the that was being made here? Now, Lewis Powell, who has been a corporate lawyer, argued that the American economic and the free enterprise system was under broad frontal attack from consumer environmental and labor environments, as well as academia and media. Translation. What Lewis Powell was arguing was that private companies, you see these guys that are running around advocating for strict laws on environmental protection, these guys are attacking our very source of money. So, you better wake up. You better wake up and come together and figure out a way. You see all these guys that are coming together and forming all these labor unions so that you can take care of your employees, so you can create a well-equipped, a clean work environment for your employees. These guys are after our profit. You do realize that if we have to spend money making the the place a place of work safe, that will cut money from our profit. We do not want to do that. So the best way to do this is to make sure that we don't have a safe working environment, so that we can pocket all the money that we would have used to create a safe working environment. That's basically what Lewis Paul was telling them. His call to action was, he stated that business leaders, had been too passive. Y'all have been lala, y'all have been in lala land. And they needed to wake up and unite and organize and use their massive financial resources to fight back. This was in the 1970s. If you look at the US labor unions right now, they've all been castrated. Say, it works like a champ. Works like a champ. Now, every country that has Western dominated in terms of ideology and practice, economic and political atmosphere, they have the same problem. You have a near, if not a completely castrated labor unions. If you think that is an accident, thank you for tuning into Mind the Gap. Because now you know it's not. This is my wisdom. No go kill me. Oh. This is my wisdom. Now, just a theme song before I just, not theme song, just, actually it's my old theme song, so I can just, you know, call it a theme song. And then we'll continue on the other side where I'm just, you know, wrapping up before I go full DJ.
Along with you,
We'll get back to Uganda in a few. So, I think, after years of working with yours truly, Mr. Links Dwight, I've come to realize that much of the lives that we live, because he has a background in marketing. And one thing I've come to learn is that, because I thought it was just something that was just present in politics. It turns out psychology is the most important subject on this planet, because it's employed pretty much all disciplines to shape a public opinion. Psychology has been used. Take colonialism, for example. Psychology was heavily applied. In the world of buying and selling, psychology heavily applied. In the world of politics, psychology heavily applied. In the world of medicine itself, psychology heavily applied. Think of it as persuading people to think in a certain way. It turns out we are that easy to convince to think in a certain way. If you look at the textile industry, for example, high heels were first made for men. Right now, if you wear high heels, the first thing that will come in my head if I see a man in high heels, LGBTQ, LGBTQ. Here's the thing. Up until the 1950s and 60s, the colors were pink for men, blue for women. Today is the complete opposite. We are very, 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 very easy to convince. Very easy. So George Carlin then was right. The larger the number of people, the larger the number of people gather in, the stupider they become. And I'm with George Carlin on this one. Now, George Carlin's point of view is that people are difficult to lie to in a small number, but in a large number, they are very easy to lie to. What a contradiction. The irony, right? Now, how much of what you do is something that you thought out, it's just something that, we do things in the name of science, right? Is that in the name of science? Just science? Really? Yeah. You see, here's the, it pains me, seriously. Actually, it doesn't. I just find it hilarious, and I like to use it in all my content. How lobbyists made breakfast the most important meal of the day. I swear, everything that I have been exposed to, I start to think that, this is just something that is natural. I mean, scientific experiments have been conducted. Therefore, this must be true because it's based on science. And then I find out it's based on psychology. Sleep 8 hours a day. It's based on psychology. Mattress company marketing. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. It's based on psychology. Cereal company marketing campaign. Engagement ring. Now that's just closer to home. Diamonds are forever. Get an engagement ring before you get. It's psychology and marketing. Lying in politics turns out psychology and marketing. Lying in the corporate world, it turns out psychology and marketing. Is there anything that doesn't have psychology and marketing behind it? Newsflash, nothing, absolutely nothing. Your wedding gown. Yeah. Is also now queen. Your wedding dress, the beautiful white one that is most, if not every woman's dream. Yeah, that is coming from Queen Victoria. She wore one when her husband died. And creepy enough, she didn't allow him to, you know, she, you know, allowed them to bury her. And she spent an extended period of time with him after he was in that dress. Anyway, here's the thing. Someone looked at that dress and figured out, how can I take a dress that was worn by a woman that was mourning? That was invented by a woman that was mourning the death of her husband. How can I take a dress like that and sell it to a woman that will be celebrating with her husband? The contradiction. The dress itself comes from a woman that was mourning her husband. And now it's used as a symbol of a celebration of being with your husband. You can never beat psychology, even if you try. Especially corporate psychology. These guys will sell you death. I'm telling you. So, how did we all wake up and decided to go, breakfast is the best meal of the day? It's based on science, right? Yeah, right. Also, I thought it's not. It's based on psychology and marketing. Well, thanks to Reuters, I've just found one, not Reuters, The Guardian. How lobbying made breakfast the most important meal of the day. Now, until very recently, now this is from 2016. Now, until very recently, common wisdom held that breakfast was the most important meal of the day. We have anecdotally, basically, like in a tiny way, tied all sorts of ills to a failure to sit down and complete your breakfast. But health research has proven that skipping breakfast does not, in fact, lead to weight gain, health issues, or any underperformance. That's work performance, school performance, bedroom performance. It doesn't. To this day, we still think breakfast is the best, you know, a meal. Guys, please, just eat when you're hungry. It's not rocket science. Now, you see, how did we get here? You see, our reverence for breakfast, we're still with the Guardians here. Our reverence for breakfast is actually relatively recent. Before the late 19th century in the United States, breakfast didn't have a particular importance ascribed to it. But all that changed by a small group of religious fanatics and lobbyists for cereal and bacon. See, breakfast company decided to sell you breakfast as the most important meal of the day. See? You want to make money from people? Lie to them through your teeth. And, well, cereal from the look of. Historically, breakfast didn't come with its own list of specific food types. Now, that is according to Abigail Carroll, who is the author of Three Squares, The Invasion of American Meal. American? Global! Are you kidding me? Now, people simply ate whenever they had, whatever they had around for breakfast, which was often, leftovers. Now, we can't eat leftovers now, can we? We'll just warm it up. From before. Now, by the 1800s, what Americans think actually, replace Americans with pretty much the entire Western world and countries that have a lot of Western influence, Namibia included. Now, by the 1800s, what Americans think as as farmers' breakfast started changing, started showing up at the table. Eggs have been a popular breakfast. Eggs have been a popular breakfast. In the late 19th century, people began to worry about indigestion as a result of industrial revolution, and they basically go on and halfway through there, Jackson was a preacher and Kellogg, a religious man who believed that, look, all I can say is find that article and read it yourself.
Right. Bottom line is, because I'm just 2 minutes to playing DJ. Bottom line, I grew up thinking breakfast, I was told that my whole life in school, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Maybe not. What is fascinating is that idea was made mainstream by companies that conveniently at the time were starting their breakfast food business. And that takes us to the last part of my yapping. You see how we're told sleep 8 hours a day. Right. Sleep 8 hours a day, right? Now, sleep 8 hours a day may be a good thing. Oh, actually sleep 8 hours a night. 8 hours a day you're working. Where did this idea come from? Well, it's also from a mattress company. You know how breakfast is the most important meal of the day is from a breakfast food making company? Well, it turns out sleep 8 hours a day is from a mattress company. You have got to be kidding me. Is there a part of my life that doesn't have psychology and marketing influence to it? Short answer, I don't think there is much of our lives that is actually not dominated by someone wanting to make profit. Yeah. I know. And if you're a woman and you smoke, I want you to look up Propaganda by Edward Bernays. It's an awesome... Actually, I forget Propaganda by Edward Bernays. That's just... That explains both, a psychological lying, political lying, economic lying and everything. Now, if you're a woman and a smoker and you want to... And you think, you know what? I made this decision. I'm a grown woman. I can make all my decisions. I started, smoking by... No, you didn't. Psychology and marketing did that to you. Congratulations. And look, you're not the only one to fall for it. If you look at fashion trends all throughout history, it's a result of what? Psychology and marketing. Yeah. And you know what else psychology and marketing can market? War! War can be marketed. In 1991, a 15-year-old girl, the daughter of the Kuwaiti ambassador to the U.S., 15 years, she was used to lie the entire country into going to war. See, psychology and marketing. You can market war, you can market cigarettes, you can market, for the love of God, throw psychology into anything and you can shape people's opinions on everything. Everything. Yeah. Alcohol is bad for your liver. We still smoke. Smoking is bad for your lungs. People still smoke. Alcohol is bad for your liver. We still drink. Actually, speaking of which, I think I need to I need a beer or two after this. Psychology, guys, heads off to psychology. Really heads off. Like, really, really, really heads off. The biggest psychological maneuver is the entertainment industry. If you look at how many things people have adopted from movies into reality, you would be shocked. Especially there by the bedroom. It's a movie, but no. Just cover everything. Really? And doctors are coming up and pointing at some of the health issues of these practices. But psychology, don't win a game.
Why didn't I do psychology? Actually, at this point, I mean, so just write a book on how to lie to a large number of people and then sell the books and then make money while at it. I mean, other people have done it. Now, before I, you know, get in my DJ mode, just one thing I would like to point out. Something much more closer to home here in Namibia. Where, I think I came across three stories of tragic car accidents. I don't think, you know, these are some of the things that we shouldn't, you know, we shouldn't be pointing out because they should be that obvious at this point. That the closer we get to the end of the year, the more events begin to take place. And this means people are traveling more. And while the more people travel, the more accidents multiply. Also, because, you know, people are excited to get their destination, to get to that wedding, to get to that event, to see their loved ones at home. That's a good thing. But dying before meeting them or dying before attending is not going to save you any time. And yeah, your car is fast at getting you to the north. You know what where your car is fastest getting you to? Okay? Your grave. Your car is as fast as getting you to the north as it is to get, as it is to getting you to the grave. If you have a car that is fast, this car, no, this car is fast. This car is so fast it can get me, to Okahanja in, in like 5 minutes. Yeah! It can also get you to your grave in the same amount of time, if not less. And if it's a genuine car accident, my sympathies. But if you drink and drive, and you're involved in a car accident, and you and I know you, and now I have to attend your funeral, the closer December comes, the more I'll say no to vegetables. I just want kapana. Dude, I didn't kill you. Well, you wanted to get wherever it is that you wanted to get as fast, and then you ended up getting to your grave faster. I'm just going to eat the meat. I'll just eat the meat. I'm sorry, I'll just eat the meat. And now you're, when we are singing, Badiokuhima, Badiokuhima, Ututiye, it wasn't your will, to leave us, but it's much catchier in the Mbogosho. But, the thing is, after that song, gentlemen, if there are people that must drive safer, it should be us. Because see what happens, see, when you die, I'll be here comforting, that your girlfriend. There's always a bestie somewhere who'll be comforting. Now, let's say that, you died and you are somewhere in heaven and you are looking down at your, you know, at all your loved ones and, you know, you're in your wonderful wings. You're just floating down in heaven. You're going to be one angry angel once you see that that bestie is comforting, is over comforting your, it's not your girlfriend anymore because, well, let's face it, your behind is dead. Bestie is Netflix and chilling with popcorns. Eish, heaven must be painful. Really painful. Anyway, music time. So if you don't want us to comfort the people that you are leaving behind with Netflix and chill, don't get me wrong. Oh, we're willing to do that. Just, well, drive safe and then we won't have to do it. Shout out to all the besties out there. Don't pray for people to die so you can take off and see your life. Get your own girlfriend. Oh, music time. Now, this song is dedicated to those of you that told your girlfriends here in Windhoek or wherever you told them that you were going to attend someone's wedding and ended up getting married. And then when you came back, you got caught. And I just decided to pick this one for you. What did you people do without me?
looking at the calendar, getting nervous. Just a few more days to the first. So this the day it all began. One place that it came together. More than a ring, more a tattoo. Wish a bird, more that reminds me.
It's more than a ring or a tattoo. Yeah. This is your birthmark. That reminds me of you. I know I got married, but I, actually, it's denied. I didn't get married. You saw pictures of Instagram. That's AI, my love. That's AI. Nah, lie.
Go to August 3rd, first worst day. We get our first words, first argument. Gotta let it go, cause it could possibly affect what our future holds. Flipping pages, now I'm famous. Thinking back, I ain't seen you in ages. Wishing that I could have made it less painless. Brings me back, right back to the same mess. I know that it was my fault. I know that I got caught. So please don't lose. Loving you and you loving me. I'm on the highway swerving. I ain't drunk, but I'm about to hit the curb. Looking at the calendar, getting nervous. Just a few more days till the first. So this the day it all began. One place that it came together. More than a ring or a tattoo. Wish a birthmark that reminds me of you. So let's get on it. February, March, April, May. June, July, August is just another day. September, October, November, trying to find a way. In December to mark my calendar to meet again. If only we can go to that place where me and you know. There's no fake front, cheap, even lying. The time has come when we stand face to face. This the day it all began. One place that it came together. More than a ring. It's your birthmark that reminds me of you. So let's get on an airplane. Go back to where we began. To that point which is days apart. That stamp right next to your heart.
I'm sure a lot of us, at least Africans, are aware that the UN recently voted on a new map to show Africa's true size. I'm talking about the continent, not that size, the continent size. I knew that was going to come out. So the continent size. Landmass. Yeah, that's the best way to... although the word must is not helping my case. Anyway, so the six countries abstained from voting. I don't know why. And one country voted against the U.S. Although I don't blame the U.S. I think it's just Israel that told them, you know, vote against. Because, the way I look at Israel and the U.S. is that, the relationship they have is like a remote and a TV. That giant screen, that's the United States. That remote, that's Israel. Very simple. Whatever the remote says, the TV does. It's not rocket science. So, I know everyone is just pissed at the media. You know, why could they do that? Oh, no. Well, when the remote says to feed, you gotta follow the instructions of the remote. Anyway, but then I now just get to realize just how massive the African continent is. It is huge. Actually, that explains a lot. Explains a lot about you know, both men and women in the African continent. Anyway, moving on to the next you know, next part of my DJ session. But on the other side of the break, we have a commercial break coming up. Let's pay the bills. And this is Mind the Gap with yours truly, Helmed. And for the millionth time, it's a comedy show. Don't get a heart attack because of you. You're supposed to laugh.
Need some help with the groceries this month? And YouSave has a competition that is just for you. Every Friday between 1 and 2 p.m., Eagle FM will be giving away a $500 YouSave voucher. To stand a chance of winning the $500 YouSave voucher, all you have to do is follow Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook, X, and Instagram, and be on the lookout for the weekly competition question. YouSave, where good food costs less.
Uwilo kikitha kuninga erunduru kwa mwena kuiwa yoye, oku pitila mirongo, kwa Sunshine Private College, tse, otuilo kikitha, oku kupa erongo, pamfika hopo mpada. We say education first, o programate tu, o dhakwashili pare kwa ko NQA, no the register kwa Namibia Council for Higher Education, NCHE. Mashangifo ka guste yuma wafikali mirongo mpaina kamano, oka paturuka. Kogoro rapiko sa tadirandura. Postgraduate Diploma in Education, Secondary. Omvura imwe, o level 8. Bachelor of Education Honors in Junior Primary. Omvura dhirine, level 8. Bachelor of Education Honors in Senior Primary. Omvura dhirine, o level 8. Diploma in Early Childhood Development and Junior Primary Education. Omvura ndatu, level 6. Mwetofuro kuilonga pa mkaro kwa full time anenge wa distance. Nyo kuwelewa wezo hapo. Tudhengira kumberewa nilaka mano imu. Mbali mbali imwe ketatu onora nontanu. Nende kwa mkwaya mokapu. Nora ketatu imwe mbali ketatu ketatu. Ontano mbali ontano no ketatu. Sunshine Private College. Not just about teaching, it's about inspiring your future.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace. We got no time for that because we gotta play DJ. Now, speaking of DJ, up next is Lord Haran with The Night We Met. We're getting close to December. It's, you know, love vibe music. Is for those ones that were left in a, you know, left in Windhoek by someone that went to the north to attend a wedding and you know, only to find out that they were attending their wedding after leaving you here. So just trying to represent both sides here.
I head on and then most of you summon down energy.
Right, so we have 10 minutes left to the hour of one, and you're still listening to Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM. Yisofan Eagle FM, Jay Lesser, May playlist, and May playlist is a very lekker, but let's make it even more lekker with something with a rhythm, you know, something with black people in it, because, you know, let's face it, you know, white people and rhythm are like, you know, salt and oil. They don't mix. Minus that one guy in Carolina's, in Carolina by Awilo.
Right, and we are 2 minutes into, to the hour of one, so time to wrap everything up. So here's one thing that, look, I begin to think that this is from science, this is a, you know, this is just from a pure science experiments. It has no profit motive type of research behind it. It turns out everything, you know, let me just say, most if not all things that are mainstream has marketing behind it. It was just a money-making tool. I mean, when it comes to disciplines out there, anthropologists were the mainstream, the most racist morons all throughout the transatlantic slavery period, because it was they that were walking around with veneer calipers and measuring people's nose length and width and then scientifically concluded that one race was better than the other. No, that's what the people that funded the research wanted them to conclude. That's the conclusion. So basically, the research was concluded before it was conducted. Someone wanted to create an education curriculum that pointed out that that reached one conclusion. For us to subjugate, for us to enslave people, we have to tell the people that we are not enslaving, aka people that are like us, white, that we have to find a justification to enslave them. So what better way to do that than, you wanna guess, science? So 8 hours sleep, 8 hours sleep, mattress company. Engagement ring, diamond company. Breakfast, important meal of the day. Breakfast food making company. Come to think of it, everything is just, it's a campaign. The question I'm going to leave you, what I'm going to leave you with is, how much of what you do is based on a decision that you made by yourself without being influenced by anyone or anything? Yeah, you will have a hard time reaching that conclusion. But that brings us to the end of Home Run. It's Mind the Gap, sorry. It's a home run is tomorrow. Now, of Mind the Gap for today until next week. Now that I've, explained to you just how useless your will is and how it can easily be influenced by proper strategically tailored marketing, be it politically, economically, socially. Have a good day. Have a good day. Have a good day questioning your life decisions.